Well, welcome everybody. Good to see you again today. Really glad to have you on Zoom. We look forward to seeing you in person very soon, but we pray that will be soon and hope that will be soon, but we don't know exactly when yet. If you've been around on the internet any amount of time, you'll eventually hear a deconversion story. And it kind of goes like this. It's the opposite of a conversion story. And so what you generally hear is something like this. I used to be a Christian, and I really began to doubt certain things. And instead of pushing those doubts away, I had the courage to face them. And now I'm no longer a believer in Jesus. And it's usually expressed in those terms. It's I had these doubts. Christianity tried to squelch them, but I had the courage to look into them. And now I'm proud to say that I pushed away. I came across an example of this just about a couple of weeks ago, and I actually found it very upsetting because I remember when the person was following Christ and a fairly well-known person, and it was unsettling for a number of reasons. Number one was his hostility against Christianity, and part of it is kind of wonder if it could happen to me and to you. It's very unsettling because it's like, man, what if I end up doing the same thing? Well, we're not the first to face this danger. If you've ever felt like you could waver and stop following Jesus, then today's passage is for you. We are not the first. In fact, Jesus addresses this issue in this passage that we just read. But I want to back up for a sec. If you are new with us today, or if you just have a bad memory, we're looking at the last words of Christ before he went to the cross. And so we're looking at Jesus opening up his heart the day before he was about to go to the cross. He sat down with his disciples and he said, "Let me share with you what is on my mind." And he opened up his heart to them. And it's a really an amazing look at Jesus. Jesus taught a lot of things and all through scripture is his teaching, all through the gospels. But this is an account of Jesus actually opening up his heart and explaining to us exactly what he was thinking. Last week, Nathan explained to us the changes that our relationship with Christ produces in our lives. If you didn't get a chance to listen to that, I encourage you to go back. It's definitely worth listening to. And one of the changes that Nathan mentioned is that it will produce a different relationship with the world. And Nathan ended with this point. He said that it's actually a little bit unsettling. The world will hate us if we follow Jesus. In fact, Jesus says in John 15:20, "Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also." And so if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you need to understand this. Your faith in Jesus will not go unopposed. The world is not going to be a friendly place for you to follow Jesus Christ. And the reason is simple. The world is in rebellion against God. There are spiritual forces all around that are opposed to his reign. So there's seen forces, there's people, but there's also satanic forces who are opposed to Jesus and everything that he stands for. And when you begin to follow Jesus, you cross over onto Jesus' side. And all of a sudden you find that everything and everyone is against you. The world is against you and Satan is against you. And so if you've ever followed Jesus or been baptized or taken a step of obedience, began to really read the Bible or take your faith more seriously or become more involved in church, you might have found that that begins a very difficult period in your life. That shouldn't surprise us because what Jesus says here is that's the way it is. As long as you are on this earth following me, you are going to face opposition. It's not going to be a cakewalk. It's not going to be easy. That's just the way it is. I love the words of Spurgeon. I think of this often. Spurgeon says this, "When you sleep, think that you are resting on a battlefield. When you walk, suspect an ambush in every hedge." In fact, what Spurgeon is saying here is this is the normal Christian life. If you wake up in the morning and things are falling apart, and you're facing pressure to compromise your faith, hey, it's another day. What did you expect? If you are ambushed, if you're feeling doubt or attack, well, don't be surprised. That's what Christianity is all about. Expect opposition from spiritual forces and from people when you follow Jesus. Okay. The problem is nobody expects that. Or nobody, at least if we expect that, even if we get our head around it, nobody likes it. And so in verse 2 of chapter 16, Jesus describes what's going to happen. He says, they're going to put you out of synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think that he's offering a service to God. And so what he's saying is, we're going to be excommunicated. Today, you could say we're going to be canceled. You know, they're just going to say, this is unacceptable. What you believe cannot stand. And not only are they going to kick us out, religious people sometimes, but we're going to even face being killed. Anyone want to sign up? Is there anybody who's like, yeah, that's what I want? I was reading this week that the supplier of football helmets to the NFL has this warning label on all of their helmets and also on the homepage of their website. And I checked it out. It's actually true. On every helmet, and when you go to their website, even before they let you browse it, they say, warning, no helmet system can prevent concussions or eliminate the risk of serious head or neck injuries while playing football. Kind of like a duh statement, right? If you wear this helmet, you still may get injured. And the warning label continues with some information, you know, concussions and what it could be like. And then it ends with these words: to avoid these risks of playing football, do not engage in the sport of football. The only way to be safe and not get football injuries is not to play football. And essentially what Jesus is saying is the same thing. Warning, nothing can prevent or eliminate the risk of serious opposition when following Jesus. To avoid Jesus means that you are signing up for the risk of being hated and persecuted. And if you're not okay with that, don't sign up. To follow Jesus means that you will be hated and persecuted, just as Jesus was. At the very least, if we don't get persecution from the world, and we've lived in up till recently in a culture that was at least tolerant of Christianity, and now it's beginning to shift a little bit where it's Christianity is seen as being dangerous. But at least even if we don't get opposition from people, you will face spiritual opposition. And so Jesus doesn't pull any punches. He says, this is what it means to follow me. He does not invite us to an easy life. He invites us to a life of suffering. He invites us to follow him, and he lived a life of suffering. And by the way, also a life of joy. The two go together somehow. The good news, we're not going to get into this too much today. The good news is that the suffering goes hand in hand with joy. And so in a way that you can't explain, those who actually follow Jesus and are willing to pay the price, who lose their lives, find that they gain far more back. And in the middle of even death, sometimes they're like, we wouldn't trade this for anything. But here's the reality. A lot of us hear this news and we're tempted to say, I'm out. I don't want to sign up for anything like that. And that's why in verse 1, Jesus says, I have said these things to you to keep you from falling away. And so what Jesus says here is, look, I know this is going to be hard for you. Later on, he acknowledges again the feelings that the disciples are having, right? Feelings of regret that Jesus is leaving, feelings of fear that this is going to be the cost. He knows that Peter's going to deny Jesus when put to the test. And so Jesus knows when we face attack, we're going to feel like giving up on him. That's the problem that Jesus is addressing here. The Christian life is hard. Don't let anybody tell you anything differently than that. And when you face attack and opposition, we're going to be tempted to find an easier path. We're going to be tempted to give up. And Jesus warns of this danger, and he's trying to help us by giving us the solution to this issue. This is a huge problem. What is the solution that Jesus offers? Well, the answer is simple. The solution that Jesus offers is a person. It's the helper. We looked at this the other week. Helper being the Holy Spirit, another helper. Jesus is the first helper, and he says, I'll send another helper who's the Holy Spirit. Helper has a wide range of meanings, and we looked at that the other week. And what Jesus says here is, look, I will not leave you alone. I'm going to send a helper to stand with you when you face this trial. So John 15, verses 26 to 27 say, when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me in the beginning. And then in chapter 16, verse 7, he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For I do not go away. The helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And so what Jesus says here is, look, I'm leaving. There's no way in the world, especially given what you're going to face, that I'm going to leave you alone. And so I'm going to send you reinforcements. The reinforcement is actually one person, God himself, the Holy Spirit. When you're attacked, when you're opposed, when you're dragged before courts, even when you're killed, you will never stand alone. God, the Holy Spirit himself, will be standing beside you and in you. The Holy Spirit actually will be doing most of the work. I love how Jesus says that it's actually the Spirit that's going to bear witness. And oh yeah, you will too. But Jesus puts the emphasis on the Holy Spirit doing the work. He's going to be the primary witness, and we'll join him. But we can have the confidence that we're just standing, the Holy Spirit standing beside us. But in essence, actually, we're standing with the Holy Spirit. He's shouldering the load, and we just get to stand with him as he does his work. Jesus even says that it's better that he leaves because of the work the Holy Spirit is going to do. And today, I just want to spend a couple minutes looking at the two things that Jesus says the Holy Spirit's going to do that we really need. And I really want this to become real for us because we need both of these right now. This is a present ongoing need that all of us have. So Jesus says the Holy Spirit's going to do two things that we need. And by the way, these are two things we really need in Liberty Village right now. Number one, the Holy Spirit is going to be on mission in the world. The first thing that Jesus says the Holy Spirit's going to do as we face life alone, apart from Jesus, the Holy Spirit's going to join us. The first thing that he's going to do is the Holy Spirit's going to go on mission in the world. Let me just back up for a minute. The gospel is the good news that Jesus entered this messy world. Jesus did not keep distance from sinners. I'm reading through the gospels right now, and it's amazing how Jesus entered this broken world and seemed to really love hanging out with sinners and broken people. Because that's who's in the world, sinners and broken people, rebels against him. And Jesus says in this passage that the Holy Spirit is going to be on mission. Just as Jesus was on mission, the Holy Spirit is going to be on mission. And verses 8 and 10 say this: when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And then Jesus, this is under the umbrella of convicting the world. Here's what he's going to do concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. So the Holy Spirit's going to convince them of this. Basically, the problem isn't sins. The problem is sin, which is a state of rebellion against God himself. And the Holy Spirit's going to convict people of that. Secondly, concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Third, concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. And here, what Jesus is saying, it sounds very negative, but the Holy Spirit's going to be on mission in the world. He's going to be on the move all around us, changing hearts. Nothing can stop him. The Holy Spirit's going to reveal people's true condition. And as a result, many people will turn to Jesus and be saved. As I mentioned, this sounds so negative, right? The Holy Spirit convicting. Pascal actually argued that the preaching of sin brings healing. and not harm. He said, the great barrier to happiness is our refusal to accept that we are at fault. A couple of examples would be, you know, if you go to the doctor and you're sick and the doctor brings a negative diagnosis and says, a diagnosis that you have an illness, he is then able to treat you. And it's actually good news that he's diagnosed you, because all of a sudden it's like, okay, I knew I was sick. Now I know how to fix this. Or it might be in the middle of an argument. You know you're wrong, but you can't admit it. The other person's going at you and you feel defensive and you just can't admit that you're wrong. But maybe the tone softens, the other person apologizes, and immediately you soften and you confess, I know I was wrong. I'm sorry for getting angry. And surprisingly, instead of feeling bad when you're confessing this, you feel this sense of relief that you're able to confess and make things right with the other person. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit's going to do. He's going to invade people's lives and convict their heart so that they realize the real problem, and then bring healing so that they're no longer in rebellion against God. Friends, it might look like we're outnumbered. We face a staggering challenge as a church. We go through Liberty Village, and I know a lot of you live outside of Liberty Village. We look all around us, we see people who don't follow Jesus. And we begin to ask, how in the world are we going to make a difference? How in the world are we going to see people come to know Jesus? Especially in a world, as I mentioned, where people hate ethical absolutes. People hate hearing about sin. As I mentioned, people see Christianity as dangerous and intolerant. How are we going to see people change? Well, Jesus answers. He says, God, the Holy Spirit, is active in the world. As long as this world exists, the Spirit is going to be everywhere, changing hearts, drawing people to Jesus, convicting them. And we just need to be ready to stand with the Holy Spirit as he draws people to himself. Nothing can stop him. You know, I'm reading a book right now by Jen Pollock Michelle, who lives in Toronto and attends a church near us. She's spoken at Liberty Grace before. One of the things I love about the book is that she has all these stories of people who've come to faith in Jesus. I was reading one of them this week, and a lot of them are like this. One of the people said, I planned a lot of things in my life, but being a Christian was never one of them. But by God's grace and his plan, not my plan, his plan, I became a child of God on that day. How encouraging, right? I love stories like this. It wasn't my plan to follow Jesus, but the Holy Spirit had other plans. Maybe today you're one of the people sensing the Holy Spirit drawing you to himself. Don't resist. Come to him this very moment. Have confidence. All of us can have confidence that we don't need to retreat from the world, no matter how hard it gets, because nothing can stop the Holy Spirit's work in this world. The Holy Spirit is on mission in the world, and that's the first thing that the Holy Spirit is going to do. Okay, so first, we're going to be under persecution. It's going to be hard. We're going to want to quit. But don't fear, Jesus says. The Holy Spirit's going to be on mission in the world. Here's the second thing the Holy Spirit's going to do. The Holy Spirit's going to empower the church. Holy Spirit's going to convict the world and draw people to himself. But secondly, the Holy Spirit's going to empower the church. You know, love the story of a police in Fremont, California, who were pursuing a suspect. A police officer was in pursuit, driving the police department's Tesla Model S patrol car. The only problem was speeds were going up to 120 miles per hour. There's this officer in pursuit in a Tesla, but somebody had forgotten to plug the car in before the shift. And so he's in hot pursuit, and he radios in. He says, I'm down to 6 miles of battery left on the Tesla, so I might lose the suspect. And sure enough, he had to pull over. He abandoned the chase. He had to find a place to plug in the car and juice up again. You know, maybe the police need to stick to these big tanks that run on gas. I don't know. Or at least they need to plug in the car before pursuit. But you know, that's a big picture of the Christian life, isn't it? We have no power. We don't have the power that it takes. But if you look in verses 13 to 15, look at what Jesus says. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Here, Jesus says, basically, the Holy Spirit's going to empower us. There's a lot there that we could look at in terms of how the Holy Spirit does empower the church. But the two things Jesus highlights here is, first, he's going to guide us in the truth. Particularly with the disciples, he's going to bring to mind what he taught them. One day, they're going to sit down and record or talk to an eyewitness who records the words of Jesus. And so Jesus promises, hey, guys, I know your memory's bad. The Holy Spirit's going to help you to remember what I taught you. It's going to be written down and we get to read it. We're doing that right now, reading God's word, because the Holy Spirit is going to guide you into truth. He's going to teach us what's true about God. The other thing he's going to do is he's going to bring glory to Jesus. He's going to make it so our lives are wired to bring glory to Jesus, to be all about Jesus. He will illumine God's word so that we can understand it. He will give us everything we need as a church because we can't do it on our own. And so this is the great news that we have. We face a lot of challenges. We live in a hostile world. We are not that reliable. On our own strength, that we would simply give up. But Jesus has not left us alone. He's given us the Holy Spirit, who's on mission in the world and who empowers the church. And I want to ask you as we close, how should we respond? Don't be afraid. No matter what's coming at you, remember that you don't stand alone. The Holy Spirit is beside you. He's inside you, doing his work. We don't need to be afraid no matter what's thrown at us, because we're not alone. We have everything we need. Don't be surprised when it's hard. Don't fall away no matter how hard it is, because the Holy Spirit has not left you alone. As we go into the world, as we try to share the good news of Jesus, as we try to be a church in Liberty Village for the sake of the community, we can have every confidence, not because we have what it takes, but because the Holy Spirit is with us, empowering us for the mission that he's left for us to do. Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you that you haven't left us alone, but the Holy Spirit is on mission in Liberty Village. He's with us at Liberty Grace Church, giving us the power that we need. And so, Holy Spirit, fill us and help us to bring honor and glory to Jesus. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.